Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Kyla Hardy, CEO of Cloudbreak Discovery. How are you today, Kyla?
I'm great, Phil. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thanks. Very good. I hear you've had a bit of a nasty weather over there in Canada.
I was going to say, Kyla, I think you're lying, because that's not what you said when you came on a minute ago.
I'm just trying to be positive here, guys. It's a real bummer in BC right now.
That's right. Swimming or skiing.
Yeah, basically both.
You can't complain. At least you can go fishing now as well, and skiing. I mean, what else? You could go surfing as well.
Probably surfing on all the runoff water from the mountains right now. It's a real bummer here, guys. You know, it's in all seriousness, you know, BC is getting really, really hammered, and it's having sections of the province cut off from other sections of the province is a real. It's tough, but anyways, we came back from the UK in order to help deal with this. But you know, business has to carry on, and Cloudbreak is moving forward.
Good man. Yeah, I mean, it's been a few months since we last had you on the podcast, and I know things have been progressing quite well with the certain. I think there's three projects been announced, different agreements. Do you want to give us a bit more of a progress update on how things are progressing?
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's good. So we're actively driving those processes forward. Moonbound Mining, they've taken an option agreement on the Yak project up in Northwest BC. That's part of the whole Northwest portfolio we put together post-listing here. And so as it sits right now, they're actively seeking a listing on, I believe it's the CSE in Canada here. And we've initially got about a 700,000 share position in them. We're hoping to see probably early in the new year, sometime in January, that list come to fruition. They're just currently waiting on the completion of a 43-101 as part of the qualifying transaction for that. Now, one of the ones we announced on Atlin West back in, as it was July or August, I can't really call off the top of my head. I'm sorry. But that's, that's a pretty chunky position for us. That's about 5 million shares all said and done, 3 million on the vend. And we participated and bought some additional shares in the private company. It's currently merging with a listed entity on the TSXV called Power Group Projects, PGP. And that's nearly done, actually. Actually, we're looking for approval on that any day now. The team behind PGP, we reviewed the definitive agreement the other day, and everything looks good. So that's hopefully just a box-ticking exercise at this point. And finally, the number co that picked up the South Timmins project, I'm happy to say we reviewed as vendor. We've got, you know, certain rights and around who buys the companies that have an option on our projects. We've recently reviewed an acquisition agreement by a listed entity for that number co that took the South Timmins on, and with a couple of comments, we're hoping to see them listed early in the new year as well. You know, that's another 500,000 bits of paper for Cloudbreak. But on top of that, it really, you know, we got all of our capital that we put back into the ground plus back on that for signing the agreement with this group. And we understand it's going to be a really well-backed Australian group that is wanting to take over the Pride Co and the asset. So, I'd say it's advancing nicely. We've had just sitting here talking to you guys and realized how busy the year's been, to be honest with you. And
you've achieved a lot in the last few months.
Yeah, and you know, I think the business is we're executing the business well. Is where I would put that. And you know, everyone wants to hear about the next greatest. Biggest thing, and we've got so many initiatives on the go right now, and all the way from, you know, rate conceptual stage to advanced analytics on the data that we've gone out and acquired, and we're hoping to be able to talk much more intimately about that in the coming couple of months here. I'm, you know, the technical team's just doing an absolutely great job.
Okay, Kyler, if you remember, we wrote a bit of a synopsis, which was showing that Cloudbreak was represented by a green quality street, which has three sides. And it's chocolate and a little bit of soft chocolate in the middle. But more importantly, the three sides. The first side was partly what you just talked about, which is the share portfolio that is growing within Cloudbreak. So the last time we did some sort of valuation on that, it was around, I think, if I remember rightly, it was £6.5 million, if I remember rightly. But, you can quote me on that. Yep. Plus or minus. And that's without the ones that are about to be added as well, I presume?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And your market cap at the end of business today was £6 million.
It hurts.
So would you like to comment on that? Because we still have two parts of the triangle to discuss.
Well, I'd say everything's being entirely discounted right now. There's some active sellers in the market, which isn't reflective of our execution of the business. We can't stop sellers. All we can do is find more buyers and better buyers to hold the stock at the end of the day. And our mandate is to go out and continue to build this business and deliver value for shareholders. And if shareholders don't see the exploration potential and the discovery potential, it's all we can do is continue to drive our partners forward and continue to tell the story. And if we're being honest and we're being valued at par, there doesn't sound like there's any discovery potential built into that. I would say where we currently sit and the work we've currently done, the discovery potential is absolutely fantastic in our portfolio right now. Over $5 million of work being executed by partners this year alone. We're going to start seeing those results come in. One of our major holdings, Temas, is actively executing on two updated PEAs and metallurgical work. So, it's a very active portfolio, and that doesn't even take into account the projects we still have in the company. It's, projects for partners to come in on, initiatives for partners to come in on. I would say we're undervalued right now for lack of a better way of putting it.
Well, let's go to the second part of that triangle, okay, and talk about the royalties, okay, because you already own these, okay? And again, conservatively, we've put a valuation on those royalties of somewhere in the region of 6 to 8 million sterling, I think was what we talked about when we did the review. Now, that is assuming many different things. So give us a bit more background on that.
Yeah, royalties pay out when a project goes into production. And a lot of our projects are earlier stages. We haven't valued several of the royalties in the portfolio because of the early stage, because of the pre-discovery nature of several of the projects. But there are a few projects in there where there is considerable work that's already been accomplished, and they're actively moving those forward to a point where we could, start to really talk about economics around those royalties and what it means for us. So it's a bit of a delicate balancing situation there. But anything that we have valued in the royalty portfolio, there's a direct comparison to it in the market within the geographic region and the commodity suite that was associated with it. So it's to me. And just bringing this back to the triangle there, the equity, that's the midterm, the royalties, that's the really long term. That's what gives us the ability to pay a dividend to our shareholders later on. But there, the cash, that's the right now. That mitigates our downside on a project.
Great. So these are the two sides of the triangle. Now, the base of the triangle is where you guys' expertise and work is coming in, where you are explorers. That was basically the whole point of why people should invest or would have invested in Cloudbreak, because you guys have spotted potential, taken it to a certain point, brought a joint venture in, and then benefited from them going ahead and spending lots of money.
Absolutely, yeah. So, you know, for us, Africa is a one of the reasons we listed in London and not in Canada is because we did want to cycle part of the portfolio and part of our efforts over into West Africa in particular. We see an absolutely fantastic opportunity there to, one, acquire projects within Cloudbreak and do the initial exploration and bring a partner in. But on top of that, we really like the portfolio approach that we can build a new entity around. We can bring a new management team in. And if some of your listeners recall, when we get to the monetization slide in our deck, there's the second one down is that plan of arrangement, that spin out, that build a new entity around a project, a group of projects or a specific project, especially when they all make sense together. And, you know, I think that's a really interesting way of building shareholder value and being able to return some capital back to our shareholders via distribution. And so that's especially around the African projects, you know, very specialized management teams that we want to be supporting there. And if we can execute on one of those or a couple of those in the foreseeable future here, it gives us an opportunity to, one, add additional royalties and equity onto our balance sheet, but two, if we put it out into a new entity, return part of that to our shareholders as well. So I think that's we're actively pushing on that front, and it's part of our strategy to move part of our holdings over there.
Very good. And what type of things would you be looking for in terms of metals or
absolutely
what resource is most likely?
So, you know, sticking with our theme, base and bulk commodities, things that support the greenification of the various economies that we all participate in. We really like the copper story. We really like the bauxite story is a big one for us. Iron ore, it's always sort of over here in the wings, chirping at us, saying we should get involved. But, you know, those are long-term big projects, and we can't say that we're iron ore specialists by any stretch of the imagination, but the right project comes along, we will definitely have a look at it. Additionally, looking at some really interesting nickel opportunities right now, we see that, you know, when you talk about a lithium battery, a very significant portion of that battery is still nickel. So it's one of those things that just kind of gets forgotten in the whole story. And we see a really, really good opportunity around it. And here's the thing, though. Within that whole greenstone belt in West Africa that we're really interested in, there's always precious metals in there. It's just, you know what? It's like the sun comes up one day and goes down down in the afternoon. You're going to find precious metals when you start exploring in that area. And I'm sure part of the portfolio will end up having some content in that side of stuff in it as well.
Okay, very good. You mentioned lithium. Now, I remember having a conversation with you a while back about lithium stuff that you were very excited about, and it was going to be split into different things and so that we could get the best value from it. Can you tell us any more about that?
Yeah, so we're continuing with our strategy in the United States on the lithium brine side of stuff. We've actually recently expanded our data accumulation efforts, but I really want to talk a lot about it, but it's an active ongoing project, and I think we'd be remiss if we sort of talk too much about it, other than it's going to end up being a core strategy of ours. We believe it will be a major value enhancement of the company, and we've modeled it very specifically off of others and how they've found their brines in the United States as well. And that's very much what we're going after. It's a company building prize. What we want to do with the assets that are starting to come together right now.
Okay, very good. There was one other thing that I was going to mention, and that was the helium, because again, on previous interview, you're very excited about the helium play. So is there any progress on that? What's been happening?
Yeah, Helium. It sounds like they're going to. So they've drilled their second well. They've completed it. They've come in that their production can be someplace in the 5 million to 8 million cubic feet a day off of that. And my understanding is that they'll be going out to drill another well in the as soon as it's permitted here, and that's they're fully financed through that. And the company, the CEO and the team that we've helped build in there, they're actively pushing towards that late 2022 production. And you know, I can honestly say if they achieve that, I'm absolutely over the moon. It's one of those projects that just it's so so close to my heart that you know and we've got such a good team over there that I fully believe that they're gonna do that. And it sounds like there's, you know, there's active discussions around, you know, numerous other projects in the region. They're, again, it comes back to the technical team. They're generating and trying to find the next big idea as well to bolt on and become a mid-tier producer, if you will.
Helium Company is listed?
It is listed. Yeah, absolutely. It's Imperial Helium listed on the Toronto Venture Exchange.
So this is the Steveville prospect, isn't it? The one. This is the one that went off. They penetrated the well during sort of like in the 40s, and it took them weeks to cap this thing, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and the numbers weren't as good as management was hoping, but the wells have started to clean themselves up. Specifically, the second well that they drilled has started to clean themselves up, and the pressures they got back to surface are awesome, for lack of a better term. Awesome. And it does, and the where they project their single well economics is it's pretty crazy. I can't wait to talk about it when we actually have the reserve reports out and the full production test out in the market.
Yeah, so presumably they're doing like a flow test on that right now as they do. They have to lock it in and then just run the flow test.
Exactly. And you know, the formations clean themselves up. They used a really heavy mud going through them in order to prevent what happened in the 40s from happening again. And that clogged things up a little bit, built a bit of a skin. But the formation, it's just, you know, it's actively pushing back in. Where does high pressure go? Into a low pressure area. So it's you know, the earth has allowed us to find it again. And, you know, it's there. It's nice.
Yeah. And with those sort of pressures that you mentioned, they seem pretty consistent. Do you think that that's got the propensity to produce helium for, say, you know, 5 years, X number of years going forward?
I believe management's looking at a 10 plus year well life on that. And it's looking like they'll be able to achieve that pretty well. Anticipated, I believe it's someplace in the 15% per annum year over year decline in the production. But the IRRs that they're anticipating, you know, it's cash flowing from early, late next year, and that's just cash right back into the company to go and build another project, and like I said, become that mid-tier.
And Cloudbreak have 1.25% of the outstanding equity on that.
Thereabouts, yeah, absolutely. So yeah, we're between Cloudbreak, help put that company together, and we're helping them as much as we can.
Just to recap, basically, we think that the shares, even though we haven't got the exact figures as it stands at the minute, but the shares basically, it'd be very surprising if they don't account for the full market cap of CDL today. The second triangle, which is the royalties, should be worth at least the same, but this is longer term returns and not necessarily now. And then the third one, which is the exploration and all the different things you talked about, including possible spin-off in Africa, et cetera, is currently valued at zero.
Zero. Is that correct? Correct. You hit it on the head there.
Maybe less than zero, actually, if we account some value for the royalties, even if it's 20% of the what we consider them to be worth, then effectively it's the exploration part of this company is currently worth minus £1.5 million.
Ouch!
Would you take a pound for it now?
Well, I'd give a pound for it. Exactly. You know, guys, it comes back to, we're executing the business strategy. We're, you know, we're doing what we said we would do. And it's unfortunate that people don't want to be part of the story, because I think we've got a really interesting story coming forward here.
Agreed.
So, agreed.
There you go. That's, you know, that's the base case. And just going to keep on building the company.
So for any potential or future investors who are not bought into the company yet, give us a couple of reasons why they should look at CloudBright, especially now when the share price and the value of the company is so low.
Number one, yes, we're a new company into the UK market, but it's a management team that has over 10 years experience executing this business strategy privately. Myself, this is one thing I'm known for, is generating projects, and finding good partners on them, and monetizing those projects. Two, I think our business strategy is well thought out, where we have the cash to mitigate any exploration and expenditures we've had on a project. We've got equity whenever we sell a project for the midterm, and there's continually over a multi-year period generally. And the long-term is the royalties. So we take into account all three pieces of that. And three, you know, we're really focused on what I would consider a growth market as far as battery metals go, and high tech metals. It's if the globe is going to start to transition off of hydrocarbons, they need a way to use the electricity that's generated via renewables or via other sources, and they need to transmit that energy and store it. So we're absolutely key, and what the commodities we're looking for are absolutely key to that new economy that's starting to emerge right now. And we're very focused on exploring for those and bringing partners in to explore for those with us.
It's all about the greenification, isn't it, now, as you say? I mean, it's the production of these of the metals that are used within the renewable energy sector as well as the electrification of the world.
Absolutely, you hit it on the head, and it's going to be a longer transition than I think we all want to admit off of hydrocarbons, but there's starting to be a plan, and you know what, I don't know how many millions of electric cars there are in the world right now, but I can guarantee it's a small fraction of how many hydrocarbon powered cars there are in the world right now.
Kyler Hardy, CEO of CloudBright Discovery, thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Kyler.
Well, that was good to catch up with Kyler. It's been a good 3 or 4 months since he was last on the podcast, and certainly it sounds like things are progressing pretty well there, really.
Yeah, I mean, the method when it came to market was obviously this triangular thing, that you're going to collect shares from the prospects that you create once you've farmed them out, and also royalties for the longer term.
I think the thing he did that I did take home from that, and that I've thought about it in the past, is that he's actually done this privately for many years before taking it, before taking it to London and taking it on as a, you know, an IPO in the company and making it public. So that, you know, we've got to put some trust in him in that respect, because he's certainly proven he can do it privately, and I've got every belief that he can do it now that it's a publicly listed company.
Yeah, and you also met the geologist, Rory, who you were very impressed with as well, I think, when you were in London there. So, yeah, I mean, I have every confidence that they're going to basically produce value. The market needs to see it now, as in the market understands that the company's, like, intrinsically undervalued. Hopefully from that interview, people can see that, you know. So we'll see. We'll see how it all works out.
Yeah, so moving on, I mean, a bit of a shocker after hours, always a bit of a worry when you get an aftermarket RNS come out when it's at sort of 1803 or whatever, and you see it, and then it's unfortunately an issue of equity or placing, and that came in the form of Harland and Wolff, as funnily enough, one of Michael's top picks of the year, should we say, that was actually moving really, really well today, and then bam, unfortunately, yeah. Comes in 20p, quite a significant discount. The closing price was around the 28, 29 mark. So, yeah, a bit of a sucker punch, that one. But, we, you know,
Especially as I bought some today.
I mean, you've got to remember that these companies do actually need the, you know, they need the funds. That's why they go to, that's why it's called capital markets, so they can raise capital. And actually reading the RNS, you know, they're obviously going to offer it on primary bid. So it is open to retail investors as well. Quite a lot of these places are not. So that's a bonus. So if people did want to take part, they can. And also it's going to fund and actually, you know, expedite their contract. So there's nothing wrong with it. And I think it'll generally, these companies, once they get these places out there, they actually bounce back a lot faster from them than you anticipate. So I think it's definitely a hold and accumulate. But yeah, just a bit of a sucker punch.
Yeah, for sure. In terms of myself, I suppose the one I've been watching today, and really because of what's going to be happening this week, is Valorix. They've got, I think a meeting is the 25th. So they've got question and answers on the 25th. And also a broker note came out today from Cenkos, is it?
Yep.
Which was quite a read, to say the least, 53 pages or whatever, but wow, does it tell a story? I was very impressed. It was like for a 20 million market cap now, with if this deal is finalized, a couple of years cash in the bank and potential to get the best deals from all the universities around the UK. It looks very attractive at this time. I think it finished, what, 32, 33p today. So 21 million, yeah. And RMM as well, now that finance is out the way, the grades have been much, much higher that they've printed since they've changed the way that they've started to mine, as Toby told us when he was on. Again, extremely good prospects, I think, ahead. Still massively undervalued in terms of its potential of what it's going to do. And then finally, the other one that had a bit of news today was Seed Innovations. They had some news today about further funding the Leap Gaming, and also did state that early 2022, that it was likely there would be a, what did they call it? A liquidity event for Leap Mining, whether that's a sale or acquisition or what, I'm not sure. But when you look at that 52-week low of 6.3, I think it was today, again, seems crazy, because Leap Gaming basically on its own is creating that much value, at the very least, in my view. So, yeah, there were three that I looked at. And obviously Harland and Wolf, because Michael's thing on Sunday was very convincing. And I don't think it's really going to hold it back very much. If anything, they're going to have the cash now from the RNS to get the bonds and to, you know, have working capital. Because these businesses are extremely heavy in cash demand. And that is going to be the case going forward, whether we like it or not. But is there going to be value in all of these contracts and future contracts that they perceive they're going to get? You would imagine so. So it looks like, again, just the start of a very long journey. So, yeah. What about you, Phil?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a bit of a, like, you know, when you're a kid and you're younger and you sort of looking forward, you know, like Christmas Eve, and you're looking forward to opening present. Yeah, I've just got that, a bit of that feeling. Basically, I'm excited about a stock it's actually going to resume trading tomorrow. It's on the main market, and it's been suspended for about 8 to 9 months, maybe even slightly longer than that. So it's been quite a while, but they've known about this, or some form of reverse takeover into them. So the company is called Mila Resources, and the ticker is Mila, M-I-L-A. And it's on the main market, as I mentioned. And what's going to happen is there's going to be a reverse takeover tomorrow in the morning. They're going to resume trading, still under Mila, but the company that are going to reverse into them are a private UK company called New Generation Minerals. Now, NGM, as I say, they've got a principal asset in Kathleen Valley Gold Project in Western Australia. It's in a prolific Wiluna-Norseman gold belt, which hosts several world-class mines owned by a number of premier Australian gold companies, including Northern Star and St Barbara. And then there's also another company called Bellevue. And Bellevue has grown substantially in the last year and now has a market cap of about 1.1 billion Oz. And they're obviously listed on the Australian side, on the ASX as well. And they've made substantial discoveries in the same region, particularly in the Deakin and Viargo extensions of the historic Bellevue mine, located around 7 kilometres south of the project. So very much a junior exploration company that they are currently drilling, and they've done quite a few already, you know, sunk a few holes and have found some, what, 13.5 gram per ton on their first few drills. So that looks very, very high grade gold. And they've got a mark, they reckon they're going to have a market cap of around 7 million, dependent on price discovery. But they've just raised 3.5 million at placing. So it gives you a kind of like an enterprise value of less than 4 million with significant cash reserves. And, you know, the fact is these guys are going to not hit the ground running. They're going to hit the ground sprinting because the drill bit's currently turning, that they're appraising some drill holes. And I think it's just really a matter of time before people start to see some value in this company. So as a comparison, you've got Liontown Resources. Their SP went from 3 cents in 2019 to $1.72 in 2021, which is like a 57x on the investment. And Bellevue, as the one they mentioned, that are like 6 kilometers away in this Kathleen near the Kathleen prospect, Kathleen Valley, went from 2 cents in 2016 to 88 cents in 2021. So another 44x on return on investment. So yeah, there's a great video. I'll put it in the description here on YouTube that shows you them sort of prepping the sites, drilling for gold at the Kathleen Valley. And you can have a good look at the geologists talking, et cetera. So yeah, for me, I think that with the valuation and enterprise of around 4 million, it looks like it's got legs, basically.
Wow. That one sounds interesting tomorrow morning. Okay, we will see. We will see how it all progresses going through this week. As we say, the market always gives us a few surprises. I'm still hoping for a Santa rally. It's not to start just yet, but a week or two's time. Because you say you're like a kid in a candy shop, but I honestly look at the market right now and there are so many stocks which I believe fundamentally are undervalued. It's like bizarre. It really is. You know, you look at companies like Extract Resources with that copper play. You look at the CMRS in the same light in the copper play as well on Cyprus, valued at like £9 million. It's just crazy. And then we've got stuff also that has done very well, like Ben's Creek, which I can only see continuing to do well as production starts to occur and hopefully in the next number of weeks, certainly this side of the new year. So, yeah, I mean, it's like it is a bit like a kid in a candy shop because there are so many opportunities. The problem is none of us have all cash at the minute. If we did, we could really make hay while the sun shines. I think I think
when the resource sector does finally, you know, turn, I think I'm hoping that in a way, in a selfish way, of course, that there's going to be a crypto crash so that people pull out because there's so many, you know, all these coins that have been doing really well. You just think it's just not fair that the something that doesn't have any tangible value or intrinsic value can be valued with a cap of, you know, $500 billion or whatever it is, or even $1 billion when you've got these miners that are, you know, toiling away, blood, sweat, and tears to get these, you know, these holes sunk, prove up the assays, prove up the resources, create these jolt reports with directors and CEOs who are literally dedicated to the cause. And you get some crazy crypto coin that has, as I say, no value whatsoever, and it has a ridiculous valuation. That there's no sanity in this. So I just hope that I hope people start to see value in these companies and there's a re-rate on some of them because, as you say, in this resource sector in particular, I'm not interested in blockchain and crypto and some of these miners that are plugging away and ridding the world, you know, that have got a horrible environmental footprint. burning all, you know, burning carbon to generate electricity to mine Bitcoin. Not interested in it at all. Absolutely no interest in that at all. So, yeah, for me, resource sector, making a change, finding it, you know, something in like the hydrogen play, like HUI, that's actually could make a difference to this world. So there's the ESG element of it. I'm not woke, but I think that the, you know, let's not strangle and suffocate the world anymore. What's the point?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Even I was talking to someone the other day about nanosynth. What was it used to be?
RMS, wasn't it?
RMS, yeah. You know, I mean, it's down there valued at something like 12.5 million pounds. And they do have contracts in India, and they're going to be happening. And it's not just about COVID, because you're going to need these masks for, I think, the future, basically, because we are living in a polluted world, and ultimately these things are going to be helpful.
I think historically, and, with a lot of AIM shares, and these are not all AIM shares we're talking about, but let's call them nano caps to be more precise, people have lost confidence in the CEOs over the years, and they just don't believe in a lot of these penny stocks. They actually come out with statements saying, no, don't believe in it, don't have any trust in it, I'm not investing in that. And I think that there's still that legacy. It's like, until you can put some trust back into these markets and actually see these companies delivering and doing what they say, we're doing what they say on the tin, then there's a lot of that. There's a lot of skepticism around them. And I think we've got to kind of get away from that. And hopefully some of these stocks will finally deliver. And we see a real value return.
Yeah, I mean, I think they sort of have to, almost, because, as you say, the confidence won't return until they do. So,
right, on that note, I think we'll wrap things up, and speak soon. Speak to you in the week.
Yep. All the best. God bless.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.